Okay, so we'll pick up a little bit from where Rabbi Tarchiner left off. We'll see how much of this we can cover. There are actually two different parts to what we're going to talk about. The first is the question that we addressed a little bit, but not really fully fleshed out. And I know there was a lot of discussion slash argument slash intensity over how we know that the Kotel Bor is three tefachim. And then I want to move to the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet, where we just, when the Gemara starts going back and forth between trying to figure out is Rava correct, is Rava not correct, going back and forth about that. So there's a piece of much of the middle of Yud Zayin Amud Bet that we're not going to address. It was that I put on this, what I sent out, that you should just take a look at it, just so that you know. But we're not going to spend too much on those back and forth. I'm not going to spend really any time on that back and forth between Rava about Rava's position on Yud Zayin. We're just going to skip to the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet. But before we get to the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet, just going to this question, how do we know ultimately that the Kotel Bor is three tefachim? Right, so I think there are two options that we have. So first is Rashi. I didn't put the Gemara here on the page. I guess refer back to Rabbi Tarchiner's source sheet for the actual Gemara itself. But Rashi says Hakamash Malan. So b'may detanya mikotel baro lamanu ba shekotel baro shel rishon milek kol shloshat tefachim shehuzkak gamhu larchik mina meitzar. So okay, so we see the first guy must have filled out the three tefachim there that he was marchik. How do I know? This guy is only three tefachim away. He moved the three tefachim. Oh, so the kotel must have filled those three tefachim. That's what Rashi says. The Maharam in source number two sort of fleshes this out and sort of explains it in the last line of the Maharam. He says, "Zek havanatoshel Rashi hagam she'ein zeh l'shino mamash." Even though Rashi doesn't literally say these words, the Maharam is going to say, like, this is basically what Rashi means. What does Rashi mean? So, reading the Maharam, Rashi d'marmachil hakamash blan. End of that first line. Ritzono lomar decholatoshiur karka hamafsik bein habor vein ametzar hu nikra kotel habor. That space between the hollow of the pit and the border, that's called Kotel Bor. We'll come back to the Rebbe Tarchiner's. I had a thought that Rebbe Tarchiner, distinction between the dut and the bor sort of didn't undid. But either way, this is the bor, not the dut. Okay, so mizekatani mi Kotel Boro shel Chavero. The fact that the Mishnah says Kotel Boro shel Chavero, dahainu, did I skip a line? No. Dahainu harishon. That's the first guy. The first guy had a kotel to his bor. Shmami nashigam harishon asur lo lismof boro lametzar. Right. Clearly, he couldn't put his pit right up there because there was this kotel there between the hollow and the metzar. Rak chayav lania chefsek v'harchaka shu kotel bein boro v'ena metzar. Kamo asheni. Clearly, guy one had a kotel. That meant that he was making a space between the hollow of his pit and the border. Umistama, he says, Ota harchaka shemechuyav harishon larchik min hametzar hu shloshat tvachim kishir harchaka shel hasheni. So number one had to distance, and number two had to distance, and we see number one distance. Presumably, number one distanced the same amount that number two distanced. V'chol ota harchaka shirchik harishon mechla barot ad hametzar dahainu shloshat tvachim kariyatana kotel baro shel rishon. And we're calling that distance, we're referring to that as the kotel. So shma mina deshir kotel bor hu gimel tefachim. Zeu kavanato sherashi hagam she'ein zeh l'shino mamash. Even though Rashi doesn't literally say these words, the point of what Rashi is saying is that we see from the fact that he distanced, the distance was three tefachim, and we call that distance a kotel. So that means that a kotel bor is three tefachim. And I think with the way the Ramban, I know Idan had a whole other way he understood Rashi, but Ramban also in source number three is offering the same suggestion. Hakamash mulan the kotel barosh tefachim shekevan sheshana hakota shana mikotel barosh al chavero al korcha harishon irchi kishir hachaka hakatzuv mishnatenu. Since the first guy had a kotel, he distanced. His kotel is just like the second guy that's set in the Mishnah, which is shloshat tefachim. Fakakari la kotel, and the Mishnah very clearly refers to that three tefachim as a kotel. Ba'li lamed she kotel bor shoshat tefachim ze perish le perish Rashi, and that's how Rashi understands it. That the distance, since the harchaka was three tefachim, and the first guy also was marchik three tefachim, and we call the first guy having built a kotel, and he was distanced three tefachim. That means the kotel and three tefachim are, that's the same distance. Number one had to distance three tefachim. We called that a kotel. Kotel is three tefachim. That's the way Rashi, as the way the Maharam explains it, that's the way Rashi understands. How do we know a kotel bore is three tefachim? From the halacha regarding what the harchaka had to be. That's one option. There's another option, which doesn't learn from the harchaka, but learns from the word kotel. The fact that it uses the word kotel. That's quoted in the Shita Mekubetzet a couple times, in the name of the Ravid, and also Rabbi Yehonatan. Source number four, Zelishon HaRavad, Roivid, as some call him. Okay. Yesh nuscha shekatuv ba velitni mikotel baro. Klomar, maitam atani kotel stam. So there's another girsa flip. We talked about it. Is the girsa list? What's the girsa? Not going into the girsa part of this. The Ravad quotes, Hakamash Mlan, de kotel borshishat fachim, pachut mishar kotlim, dehainu kotel levenim. It calls it a kotel. What do we know about kotel? We know the smallest conceivable kotel is three tevachim. That's source number five in the first mishnah of the Masechet. Bilvanim, if when they build a wall, the smallest, you have to build the wall k'minhag hamako, minhag hamedina, whatever. First mishnah of the Daf Bet Amud Aleph of Baba Batra. When you build a wall, so I can force you to build k'minhag hamedina. And what is minhag hamedina? Okay, so different amounts, different type sizes of bricks, and the smallest brick that we could still call a kotel is levanim. And how much room does the levanim take up? Zenotan tefach umechza, zenotan tefach umechza. One gives one and a half, one gives one and a half. Collectively, it's three. And so the Ravid, and this is also quoted, not hung on a specific girsa, in source number six, Hakamash Malan, this is quoting, also in the Shita Mekubetzet, is Rabbeinu Yehonatan, Hakamash Malan, lahachitan astama ditinei tekotel bor shashat tefachim, kekotel bait be'alma, like any stam wall, shedino bishlosha tefachim, kedetan bilvenim zenotan tefach umechza, zenotan tefach umechza. That's Rabbeinu Yehonatan. Again, defining, when I see the word kotel, I immediately think three tefachim. So there's a difference here. For Rashi, in the first answer, Rashi is understanding three tefachim. Hold on a sec. Rashi understands three tefachim. Is that a question or a scratch? Oh, okay. So then, don't hold on a sec. For Rashi, the three tefachim comes from the halacha regarding what the harchaka has to be. For the Ravid, for Rabbeinu Yehonatan, it has to do with the fact that it uses the word kotel. I instinctively think, I see kotel, I know that's three tefachim, because the smallest kotel is three tefachim. So my initial thought was that this Ravid and Rabbeinu Yehonatan works very well with if the boar actually has a physical rack fit. If we're actually putting, if the boar, the way it's incorrectly, we incorrectly thought that the boar has a stone wall around it, then I thought that is perfect. If I'm actually putting a kotel, I'm actually putting stone walls in here, then this makes a lot of sense. But if we're not saying that really we're just talking about dirt, so then maybe that doesn't work. Just a thought that I had that I don't know, I think I have an answer to this, but I'll just put it out there. In source number seven, Kotel Levanim is the smallest wall, unless Minhag HaMedina is that they do less than that. This source number seven, Hakol Minhag HaMedina, Hakol Lo'etui Imai, Lo'etui Atra Dinehigi Behotza V'dafna. If you have a community where they put up they build walls that are flimsy, small, little, thin walls, then that would be sufficient for the harchaka, for the mechitza between the two Rishuyot in the first Mishnah. So when I first saw that, when I was first thinking of this Ravid, is it true that the smallest kotel is actually three tefachim? You could have a kotel that's even less. It's hotza v'dafna. So I'm not sure that that's actually really people understand that question? Meaning the Ravid and Rabbeinu Yonatan are saying, when I think kotel, I think the smallest conceivable kotel. The smallest conceivable kotel is three tefachim. So my question was like, is that really the smallest conceivable kotel? Couldn't you have a kotel that's less than that?
It's the smallest board that can contain water without spilling away.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, basically.
What?
The walls were made out of lulav. Yeah, so, I mean, I think what you're saying is what I was thinking, which is that we don't call Hotza V'dafna a kotel. Like, that can make, that can prevent Hezek Re'ia, but we're never going to call that a kotel. So it's not conceivable that you would ever actually think that would work here. You've got to think like a gazunta kotel, and a gazunta kotel is lefachot three tzvachim, and so that's how he knows it. So that's that. This machloket, I think, Rashi, Ravid, again, they both come to the same conclusion. It's three tefachim, but how we know. In arguing a little bit back and forth with some members of the Beit Midrash earlier this week, don't know, we came up with like a theoretical nafkamina between the two, which is that if there was a scenario where the Mishnah had said that the din harchaka was two tvachim, then maybe Rashi would say that the kotel bor only has to be two tvachim. Right? I mean, that doesn't exist. The Mishnah says that a kotel, the din harchaka is three tvachim. Right. So it's independent, right? So if you were to somehow create a case where our din harchaka was less, it could have been that Rashi would have said otherwise, but that's not even necessarily the case. It's only because it's three tefachim that he said this. Right. Right. That's the Ravid.
Yeah.
I'm saying, for this is what we were talking about before. Had the din harchaka been different, would the size of the kotel have been different, according to Rashi? Maybe.
The size of the kotel.
Right? Had the din harchaka, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't exist, so it's hard to know.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I agree. Okay, so that's part one. Still have 20 minutes. We'll start part number two, which is why can't I, dealing with a gefet, maybe even bor, why can't I just, let's say I put my gefet within three tvachim. You don't have anything on your property right now. I put my gefet right up at the border. The Mishnah says I'm supposed to be marfik from the border three tvachim. Let's say I'm not Marfi. I put it right now. Why can't I? Right? Why can't I just put my gefet right next to the border? And when you come to go build your wall, to build whatever it is, I'll just move my gefet. Why can you force me to distance myself from the border when you don't have anything there? Right. So that's the question. So the Gemara brought the following challenge on Rava. Tashma, marchigin et gefet v'tazeva v'tamelach v'tasid v'tasleim mikotel shachaveru gimel tvachim osad besid tamad ika kotel haleka kotel somech. The Gemara said, oh, going back with Rava's question, the challenges of Rava, if there's the thing there, do you have to be marchig if there's nothing there in the first place? And the Gemara here at this point is saying, oh look, it's only because there's a wall there that you can't be somech. But if there was no wall, you could go right up to the border. And the Gemara says, lo, no, you also can't be somech even if there's nothing there. I can't put my gefet there. Even if there's nothing there, I can't put my gefet there. I can't put anything right there. And the Gemara gives a reason why. These things are bad for a kotel, but it's true, even if the kotel wasn't there, you couldn't be somech. So Tosfot's question, source number 9. The Tema. My kushya hacha, vadai mutar lismoch pashen kotel, she'en mazik klum, kshiach kot zel asot kotel, yasirat gefet. Why should I not be allowed to put my gefet here? I'll put it down here. It's not doing any hezek at all right now. I'll put it down. Okay, and when you come to put your wall, I'll move my gefet. Why can't we just say that? Why is it that I can't put my gefet down right now when it's not causing any harm to you whatsoever? I'll move it. When you build a thing, I'll move it. I promise. I give you my word. I'll move it. I'm just going to put it here right now. I'll move it in the future. That's the question. Everyone has the question? So Tosfot's going to give two answers. Yes, he says, Yesh lomar, tahani nalmi melkalkalin et akarka v'yazik lakotel l'keshe yivne afilu shuv yasir. He says, no. There's going to be a problem right now. When I put the gefet down now, it's going to damage the land such that you won't be able to build your wall here successfully. You're going to ruin the land. Your wall's not going to stand. Your wall's going to fall down. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And so, even though you're saying that you're not really causing any damage right now, it is causing damage right now. You're ruining the land. You're ruining the land. I can't build my wall here. And that's why I can be ma'akev. That's why I say you can't put your gefet here even though there's nothing here, because you are causing damage here. It's not visible, but there's damage here. You're hurting the land. That's the first answer. Three says, no, you know what the concern is? It's not concerned about the land. The concern is that, okay, you're telling me you're going to move it if I build the... Are you really going to move it? I'm going to have to take you to... It's going to be a whole thing. It's going to take so long. I'm going to try. I want to build my wall. You're going to say, oh, I'm going to move it. I've got work. You're going to have every excuse. I'm never going to be able to put my kotel here because your gefet is here. It's going to hurt my wall. Don't build to put it here right now. I'm not going to rely on, oh, you're saying you'll do it in the future. It takes a lot of work. You're not going to maybe necessarily move it so quickly. Shema lo yimeher lesalko. Yeah. So I want to come back to that question. I don't know if we're going to have time to get into it now. I want to come back to that question. It's because what's the reason for these two different answers? Is one building on the other? Are they coming at different? Is there nafkamina between the two? Right. That's what you're. So I want to come back to that. I don't know if we're going to. We'll have time to start it right now. But it's a good question. So everyone's good with the Tosfos two answers. Okay, so the Rush is going to say, give the same two answers and then another answer. This is source number 10. Tamash Tashma, Merchin de Gevet, Bet Amelech, etc., etc., etc. Second to last word on the second line on the source sheet. Vitirtu atosvot, Dehinach Makakalin, Nami et Akarka, Kshir, Sezelas, or Kotel, Kfar, Hakarka, Mekukelet. The damage is already done. Inami, there's the Re's answer. Yesh Torach, Besilukam, Maybe you're not going to move it so quickly and I'm going to put up my kotel. Then you're going to be damaging my kotel because your gefet is sitting there. Those are the first two. Those are what we saw in Tosfot. Rav Rabbeinu Yonah Zal, Tiretz, he gives a different answer. Maybe the gefet's going to be sitting there for 3 years. I'm going to then, at 3 years in a day, I'm going to want to put up my kotel, and I'm going to say, okay, you have to move your gefet, and you're going to say, I have a chazakah. I don't have to move the gefet. It's been here for 3 years. I have a chazakah. Skip a little bit. Behind the time, Nami time of the Rava. So we'll skip to in the end of that first paragraph, four lines up from the bottom. The Ein Dvarav Nir Imli. So again, the whole concept of what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that you put the gefet there, after 3 years you'll have a chazakah. That's a problem. So I can prevent you from putting the gefet now because you're going to have a chazakah after 3 years. The Ein Dvarav Nir Imli. He says, I don't like this. I don't agree with this. Din Ita, Demutar Lismoch Gefet Kshein Sham Kotel Ubor Samuch Lemetzar Lo Yuchal Iton Chazakah Leolam. He says, if he had actually put the gefet down, you'd never be able to claim chazaka. The neighbor would never be able to claim, I have a chazaka to this. Why not? Kevan de'ein mazik lo ata, ve'ein yochol limchot, de'chol machom she'ein yochol limchot, ein chazaka. He says, there's no chazaka here, because what was I going to be mocha? You put your gefet down, didn't bother me. So I didn't say anything. So after 3 years, I say, I would like to put my kotel here, you have to move your gefet. And you say, oh, I have a chazaka. You didn't say anything. I didn't say anything, because... there was nothing for me to say. I didn't have to be mocha. I had nothing to be mocha about. You can't just claim chazaka. So the Rosh says, there's no chazaka. If there's no macha that is to be done, there's no chazaka. Hilkach, the beginning of the next paragraph. Hilkach, im nimtza chalon patuach, lirshit rab chavero, v'necharav, I just skipped a line. Hilkach, im nimtza chalon patuach l'chorba, ein lo chazaka, im lo sheyavi edim sheyichzik bo shalosh shanim, kodem shenaseh al-chorba. So if you have the window in front of the chorba, you can't claim, oh, the window's been here for 3 years. Now that you built you have the chorba. My neighbor's window is looking into my chorba. So for 3 years, I didn't say anything about the window because it was a chorba. It was a ruin. I wasn't using that chorba. I wasn't using the ruin. I build it up. I put stuff in it. Now my neighbor can see into that. So I say, excuse me, you got to close your window up. My neighbor says, I have a chazaka. So the Rosh says, he doesn't have a chazaka. Why was I never mocha? I was never mocha because I had nothing to be mocha. It was a ruin. The only time that the chazaka works is if I could have been mocha and I wasn't. Yeah, easy.
So these two cases would be very, very different. The first case where it's, you know, whether or not they put the gefet down and you had the opportunity to say something, but you didn't have a kotel to put up, so you're not going to say, hi, you can't go there. This is where my wall can or should be or could be in the future. You have something to do there. We're talking about a ruin where there's nothing here to even talk about in the first place. What are you fighting about? What are you arguing over? The fact that you're not building something right now does not excuse the fact that you couldn't profess it and say, no, you can't do this because this will impact me.
But right now, so the way the Rush is phrasing it, right now, Ein Hezekat, where is the words? I know where it is in the Tanakh, but not in the Gemara, but I don't, where is it? He says, Ein Hezekata, right? There's no Hezek happening right now. Do you mean to give it to Ein? Right? Since there's no damage happening right now, I have nothing to be mocha.
It's not just that he chooses not to be mocha. He has no standing. If he were to show up in Basin and say, I don't like that guy's gefa there, or I don't like that guy's window there, Basin would say, go home, you have no claim.
Why could you say that this is my land? I'm just the air
walking. Your ability to protest is predicated on the fact that the other guy is harming you, and he's not harming you.
What I think you're asking was what Idan was asking before, which was that, but you have the potential to put something on the land, and then I could be mocha. So if you were to put something on the land, then yes, you could be mocha.
But it's
not Hezek Ata, because there's nothing there that's being damaged.
In the case of the boar, where we're saying you can't go up to the line because maybe the field has potential for one to build a boar, but now over here, by this case of Geffen, we're saying that even though you could build your wall over here, because of the wall, we don't care. That's how I'm understanding it, but I'm missing something.
Again, it's also sedition, not stealing the wall.
Okay, exactly.
And there isn't any seeming reason that he will do it in the future. So why is there a problem? I mean, it goes back to the balance that we gave in the Rush in the opening shiur, and then was discussed, I think you had it also in your shiur, where the Rush talks about a case in which my neighbor has a cistern and it overflows and it flows into my property. And now the question is, what's the liability for him for the damage that was done to the overflowing cistern? One of the rules that the Rush establishes, and I don't know if you want to repeat any of this for the people online, I can't hear so well.
Yeah.
But one of the rules that the Rush establishes, and the Sivos also that we brought establishes, is there's such a thing as fair use of your property. You have the right to assume that you can do certain things in your property, on your land, in your apartment, whatever it is. If you're going to tell me that I can't do anything on my property because of what the other guy might do, I'm not open that. Even though I could undo myself if it ever affects the other guy. You're not like that because one day I may not want to undo it. That's absurd. I'm not going to be able to.
The other guy can do it. It can force him to do it.
Who can force him?
He can force him. Part of the neighbor want tomorrow morning. He wants to build up a wall. He can force the neighbor to do it to get it there.
Okay, but that didn't happen yet, right? Idan is saying, in theory, you should have a chazaka because I could claim I don't want you to put your gefet here because tomorrow I'm going to put something up. And you can claim that. That's Idan saying. So, but the Rosh is saying, in order for it to be a chazaka, right, in order for there has to be mazik lo ata that I can be mocha this hezek. The reason I didn't open my mouth and was mocha because there was no hezek for me to be mocha. I didn't even have standing to bring you to Beit Din. So I did, there was nothing for me to say. And so the fact that I didn't say anything for the last 3 years doesn't count as anything because there was nothing for me to ever be mocha. I couldn't be mocha.
After 3 years, that we delete the fact of forcing building a wall between the Hashem.
After 3 years, we delete
the chazak on his gefet. We know that when the gefet is so close to the boundary of the property, there is no chazak. No, what's stronger? Just for instance, what's stronger? The forcing someone to build a wall up on the property, or the fact that he has a gift there for more than 3 years?
Idan's question is, what's stronger?
What's stronger?
The ability for me to cause you to force you to build a wall, or the fact that you have a chazaka? Presumably,
yeah,
I would imagine.
You think it's important to say, but I can force you to do so.
I mean, I would imagine the chazaka is stronger, right? Because you've been mochel. The fact that I wasn't mocha, I didn't protest this. I mean, the Rush says there is no chazaka.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that's kind of a hezek that there is, and that's why you can say that it's a constant mechia. That's why there is a chazaka here. I mean, the fact that he did not say I don't want to get it here, but they both acknowledge that because they're neighbors, they both acknowledge that one day. One side can force on the other side to build up a wall. He doesn't need to stand up and shout, don't do it, in order for it to be counted as a mechah. He doesn't need to do so, because they know the fact that one day he can force them to build a wall. So, all right, put the gift here, but we know we're neighbors, we know that tomorrow morning they may force you. That the essence of it is this is mechah.
Yes, that's
That what?
That's bad. That's the opposite. It's not saying everybody knows that I can get you to move your gefet when I want you to move. It's saying that if I try to get you to move the gefet now, I would lose. If I went to David right now and said, he has gefet there and I don't want it there, and he said, why? And I said, because one day I don't want to build a wall, they'd say, come back to us when we build a wall.
She said, well, do that to them, build a wall.
According to the Rush, what Rabbi Tashin is saying is according to the Rush. Yeah, just.
So it's that's the high itself.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That you and I protesting, bringing debates, and even if I lose, that shows that I was challenging your ability to grow.
But I didn't need to do that. Because there's no need for it. This is not just the Rush. This is all of Bava Basra. As he quotes you from the Gemara. It's true down the line. If you show up in Beis Din and you are Mocha, and you have no standing to do it, they laugh at you and they send you home, and that's it.
Nobody has. He has something to say. He has weird neighbors. We.
He doesn't. When that happens, that I want to put my wall and I can't. So then there's mazik lo ata, and then the macha counts. But until that. Zeb, can you hear?
There's a law in secular law called adverse possession. Okay? In the event that you do something on my property that hurts me and I don't stop you, that shows in secular law, that shows that you have the right to be there. And if later on I protest, I'm going to lose because he was doing something that I had the ability to protest, that I had reason to protest, and I didn't.
He doesn't even heard this. He has an explicitly allowed, but that's something he forces him the day he wants to. He doesn't need you to
there was no hezek any. There was no hezek yet. You're saying the hezek is that there's a potential. There's hezek of what I could potentially do. So the Rush would say, so when that happens, then you'll be mocha. Okay, so fine. So now, right.
Enforcing that's greater than protest.
Okay, so this is what we came to before, which was that according to what the Rush is saying, was that he's putting the dinim of we're connecting dinim of shechinim with other types of hezek, right? That's what he's equating them, and he is saying the fact that I couldn't be mocha, we can say my failure to be mocha does not mean that I was mocha. It does not mean, I'm sorry. Mocha and mochel are too similar. The fact that I didn't say anything does not mean you have a chazaka.
I think it's
kilo
that's mechalesh what Rabbi Tuchino tried to say in the first.
Could be. Okay. I'm just gonna introduce the next piece. We're not gonna go into it at all. We'll go into it just. I was thinking, because I was preparing a shir for the Chaverot program in the first parak of Baba Batra, I was thinking that this Rush Rabbeinu Yonah Machloket might be connected to something that's discussed in the first parak. The first parak is about, and that's source number 11, Ashutfin Shirasu La Asot Mechitza Bechatzar, Winit Akot of Ensa, Makom Shinagu Livno, Gavil, Gazid, Kafisin, Levenim, Bonim, Hakok Min Hagamedina, everything can be done Kamin Hagamedina. I can force you to build Kamin Hagamedina. Why can I force you to build Kamin Hagamedina? So the Rush in source number 12 says, Yesh Mefarshi, Davka kshema amidin hakotel al karka shel shnehem ben echad mehen rotzel liyot kones b'toch shelo livnot mishelo demati kol echad lemeimar eni rotzel levater karka v'lo livnot b'vinyan imlo b'vinyan bar kayama. I can force you to build minhag medina if I have to put money towards it and if it's partially on my property. Aval im ratza echad lichnos b'toch shelo l'tzo mechitza b'toch shelo b'hotza v'dafna. You want to put it on your side and you want to put hotza v'dafna. You want. Fine, that's fine with me. Kevan shemisalik hezek ria mechavero dayo. That's enough for me. If you're just going to put the wall on your own side and you're going to do it like that, that's fine with me. Lefi she'ein rotze livnot b'shelo b'hotz v'dafna lefi she'ein midkiamet zman merubah v'kashe olav litrach tamid b'binyan mechitza. The whole reason I can force you to do binyan, I can force you to build kaminag medina is because I don't want to have to pay now, and then in the future we're going to have to build it again when it falls down. We're going to do a minhag medina because I want to get my money's worth. If I have to put money, I have to give property, I want to get my money's worth. So if you take the all purpose on your side, that's fine with me. Build it however you want on your side of the property. I just don't want to pay money for something that's going to fall down. That's the way the Rush explains. V'yesh mefarshim, there are those who disagree. She'afilu im rotzeh lichnos letoch shelo, v'ligdor b'hotzeh v'dafna, chaver, top of page 3. There are those who disagree and say, even if I wanted to pull, my neighbor said, I'll pay for the whole thing, I'll put it on my property, I'll pay for the whole thing, I'll make it worse than Kaminanga Medina. Still, chaver me'akev alav, l'fisho merlo, eina machitza shbar shal kayama, ve'etztarech litzok alecha tamid, k'shetipol ha'machitza l'salek me'alai hezek riyadcha. This other answer, and this is the Rashba that the Rush is quoting, it's the position that quoted in the Rashba, says, well, I don't want to have to bring you to Beit Din when this thing falls down. There's going to be Hezek Riyah when it falls down. I don't care whose side you put it on. You pay all the expenses, you put it entirely on your property. And when it falls down, I'm going to have to take you to Beit Din. And 5 years from now, I'm going to have to take you to Beit Din. It's going to be a pain. You're not going to go. It's going to be a whole thing. I don't want to have to deal with that. We're building Kamin Haga Medina. I don't care if you put it exclusively on your property and you absorb all the costs. I don't want to have to deal with taking you to Beit Din. And the Rush disagrees with that answer. Near Kapirusha Kama, Shalona Nuchamin Gvul, the Kitzva, Lamish Yeshlo, the Selek, Heziko, Mechaber, she has said, Devar Kayam, Ledori Dorot, Ella, Maspik, Mashem, Selek, Heziko, Mimenu, Lefisha, Vimacharzma, Nizikenu, Yesh Choftim Ba'aretz. The Rush says, I don't agree with that. To say, oh, I don't want to have to deal with it. If the wall falls down, I'm going to have to take you to Beit Din, it's going to be the whole thing. He says, that's not an excuse. There are always, you'll take them to Beit Din. There's no lack of dayanim. And you have a problem, you'll deal with it then. That's how this, and I'll just say before we end, still 11:30, Rabbeinu Yonah says the same thing. And so what we'll talk about this upcoming week is the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah, is the opinions that they both agree when it comes to the first parak, but they seem to have a disagreement in the second parak, and understanding what their positions are and how we can understand more about their positions in the second parak from what we see from the first parak. We'll stop here, but we'll continue with that next week. Any questions? Okay, Zev and iPad J and everyone else who's here, thank you for